according to the scripture. I'd like to this morning invite you over to the book of Ephesians chapter 4 verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 29 reads this way. It says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Verse 1 of chapter 5 reads this way. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning. We do thank you, Lord, for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And Lord, being reminded that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we ask for the blessing and the filling of your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to hear from you, that you might be highly exalted and lifted up, and that our lives would be empowered to be the witnesses you've called us to be, and to experience your grace and to be a testimony to the world. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is found there in verse 1, and it says, "Be ye therefore followers of God." That's our title this morning. Be ye therefore followers of God. Now, what does that mean? We'll take a look at that here in just a moment. But let me ask you this. What is it that the Lord's churches need today more than anything else? What is it that the Lord's churches need today more than anything else? Let me ask you this. What is it that this church here needs more than anything else? That's important. That brings it right home to us. What is it that we need more than anything else? Well, we could take a look at maybe the physical aspects of the building and what's going on. But I want to remind you, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ are the people, amen, the members of Northwood Baptist Church. And so that is God's priority. He's not concerned, although we do want to keep up the building, that's one thing, but more important than anything else is God's interest, his involvement, and his concern for you and I, his people. And so this morning, the Lord wants us to be concerned about our relationship with him. And we'll take note here of what goes on here. And by the way, anything outside of that will be to miss what God says his church needs more than anything else. And we'll take a look here in the scripture of what God says we really do need, that he wants to provide for us and to encourage us to walk in. So when does a person begin to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? They just get some kind of an idea one day. Oh, today I will follow the Lord. Or maybe they have a hard time. Some people say, you know, I'm having a rough time in life. I think I'll try faith in Christ. Some, the world would say, I think I'll try religion today. But that's not what God wants for us. It's not religion, but a relationship, a personal relationship with God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's something that God works out. He gives to us an understanding. We would call it also a conviction of our need to know him as our Savior. Jesus Christ did not come to just give us eternal life, but he came to give us his power as well as a believer. Now, the thing is that people without the Lord Jesus Christ don't really understand this. How can you say that, Brother George? Because I was once one of them. Amen. I didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I thought, well, I will probably wind up in hell one day because of my good and my bad. So you know what I thought I would do? I'll do more good than bad. The only problem with that is the Bible says that all of our good is as unrighteousness in the sight of God. It's wickedness. It's vile. It's as dirty rags that were used by a leper and discarded. Listen. Not our bad, but our good before God is not acceptable. So even if you never did anything wrong, even if I never did anything wrong, which is really impossible, I would still die and go to hell without Jesus Christ as my Savior. So it's not, we're not coming to give God anything. We're coming, the Lord draws us that we might receive everything from Him. The world has it backwards. Our flesh can have it backwards. Peter didn't understand it. And I make reference to him many times because he thought he was doing God some favors and he didn't. He even said, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? How about this? How about this, Lord? 7 times. He thought that was impressive. The Lord said, no, I say unto you 70 times 7. And he was saying, really, as often as your brother says or your sister says, I'm sorry, you ought to forgive them. But Peter said 7 times. Boy, I mean, once is enough. Twice, 3 times. My goodness, I'm willing to do it 7 times. And God says, nope, nope, that's not the way it works. It works continually. Why? Because God has forgiven us for how many of our sins? He's forgiven us for all of our sins. So when is it that a person becomes a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? It all begins with salvation. Amen. You have to be born again. You have to seek the Lord on that. I can't give that to you. I can't talk you into that. That is something that is personal between you and the Lord. We don't come, the lost world thinks, oh, we're coming to give them religion. No, we're not. No, no, the true church is coming to help them see their need of the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life. So how much of the beginning, as we begin started to follow the Lord, was God's part? How much of it, the whole thing, right? Everything. Our part is just to receive it. That's all that we did. All of salvation comes from the Lord, and we thank the Lord for that. These three truths that we're going to consider here this morning deal really with the part of the Lord Jesus Christ, His church that He's concerned about, and that's our part. What is your part? What is my part, right? And so God is wanting us to see what our specific individual part is in His local New Testament church. And by the way, again, we want to look to the Word of God, not what we think, not how we feel about it, but what God says about it. That's where, see, we put our faith in what? Absolutely. And how do we put our faith, how do we put our faith in God? By His Word, right? So we look to His Word, and this is what He says, and I whether I believe it or not, it's the truth. If I believe that what God is saying, I am benefited from that. I cannot tell you how happy I was, and I bet you were too, the day you trusted Jesus as your Savior. And you realized He did it all. And here's the thing, He's in the business of still doing it all, but He was wanting to do everything that He promised in His Word through your life and mine. And so listen, there's a title of a message years ago that was called, The Main Thing is to Keep the Main Thing the Main Thing. And the main thing for the believer is to keep the main thing, which is Jesus, the main thing in our lives, so that we might understand Him in a better way and not miss out what He has given to us in salvation. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to consider these three truths. The follower of God needs the new man. That's the new life. That is the involvement of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, the follower of God, remember, be ye therefore followers of God. That's the title this morning. The follower of God needs to walk in the love of God. It is important that we don't just, listen, well, I'm saved and it doesn't really matter what I do. Oh, that's not what God says. The Lord says, because you are saved, these things are working themselves out as you seek the Lord to do that in your life and in my life. Number three, the follower of God needs the fruit of the Spirit. So this is what the Lord said over 2,000 years ago to His churches, and it's still the same today because God never changes. Amen? Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and for how long? Forever. Aren't you glad He doesn't change? The world doesn't do that. The world one day says, this is wrong, and this is right. I can't keep up with the world. How about you? Amen. I can't keep up with what they say. Well, don't say this. Oh, my goodness. Do you know what that means? Well, it used to mean, you know, something in my day. Do you mean to tell me it means something else today? Well, see, that's mankind. That's the world. They're always, and really the focal point of man is only one thing, and it's not God. It's that they might discover themselves and impress themselves with themselves. Can you see what's missing? God's missing out of that, isn't He? And so God says, if you're going to seek Me, you're going to need to forsake everything that you think and adhere to one thing, and that is the truth that we find in the Word of God. So let me back you up here, and let's consider Go back to chapter 4, verse 17, and let's look at a couple of things here. Chapter 4, verse 17, and let's find what it means concerning the follower of God needs the new man, which is the new life, or also the Holy Spirit. Verse 17 says this, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth, from this moment on, walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds." See, that's the lost world. The Gentiles there are speaking about lost people. They walk in the vent. They're impressed with their own minds. They're impressed with their own thinking and their own ideas. And in doing that, there's no time for God. God's not in his place. If we're impressed with ourselves, we are number one. But if we are seeking the Lord and what he has said, God becomes number one. And if we've made up in our minds that we're willing to set aside what we think for what God has said that is the truth that never changes, now all of a sudden we start putting our faith or our trust where? And not in ourselves, but in God. Amen? And that's what, listen, people say, well, I've got faith. You have faith in what? You have faith in what? You have faith in your bank account. You have faith in your abilities. You have faith in your inabilities. Or do we have faith in God and what he has said? Because that's when the change takes place, as it did when you got saved. The moment you took your focus off of yourself and put it on the Lord and trusted what he said that you needed for eternal life, and that was trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, everything began to be brand new in the Lord. Amen? Everything changed, and we thank the Lord for that. But here's the wonderful truth. Because God is infinite, there's more for us to enjoy and to experience if we'll put our trust where? In God, not in ourselves. And so he says this. He says, don't be like the Gentiles that walk in the vanity of their minds, a lost people. Verse 18, having the understanding darkened, this is their plight here, being alienated from the what? The life of God. Listen, God has given to us his life. So fathom this thought, ready? The death and the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was for our redemption. But the resurrection was the life of Christ also that has been given to us, that we might walk in that, and not in our strength, not in our intellect, but solely look to him. So we've got to really do business with the Lord. We can say we have faith in God, but are we really trusting in him for everything to guide us in his ways? And so he says this, that they have the understanding darkened, they're alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. We don't even know that. We're so proud of ourselves, we can't see anything but ourselves and don't realize that there's a whole vast, infinite realm of wisdom that belongs to the Lord that we have no inkling of and no understanding unless we're bringing God and he will not infiltrate. We must invite, call on him, and believe in him to work these things out in the life of the believer. So this is one of the important things that the Lord's churches need today, specifically the church that you're in here this morning, right? Amen? This is the one that we're focusing in on. And so he says this, verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. That's the lost world. God is saying, listen, this is different. This is not what you want. What we need is the new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he talks about the old man and the new man. So this, notice what he says right here. Verse 20, ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation or the manner of lifestyle that ye had. It's not just what we say in conversation and speaking, but the manner, the way that we lived. In other words, the things that I used to do, all of a sudden I see them now in the light of God, and they're not the things I want to do anymore because they dishonor the Lord. And what they do is they put a wedge or they put a hindrance in my relationship with my Savior. Amen? And so he's saying this needs to be, we realize that needs to be removed. And so he says, if so be that ye have heard, verse 21, him, ye have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus Christ, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. So the old man will hinder our walk. We still deal with the old man. He's still there. He's got to be crucified. Amen. He has to be the one that we don't give. Listen, our old man is easily offended. Our old man is self-centered. The moment we start looking to what I think and what I feel, we've lost our touch with the Holy Spirit. And that's not what God wants us to have. By the way, I want you to understand this. The book of Ephesians was not written to the lost world to get their lives right, but was written to the believer to give us more wisdom and understanding on our relationship with the Lord and how to really have it empowered so that we don't just have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, and so that we don't just have what the world would call religion. You know what the world thinks about religion? It's a bunch of rules. And you know what? Without Christ, that's all religion is. But with the Lord Jesus Christ, it becomes a beautiful relationship that is transforming our lives to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And it takes Him to be more important. And by the way, we find that we need Him. Lord, today, I need You to guide me every step of the way, because I know I'm just one step from stepping away from You, and I don't want to walk that way. All right. So, he says, you need to put off the old man and the deceitful lusts with it. And by the way, that's the work of God. We have to trust Him. It's not something that we say, okay, I'm going to just put off these things. No, Lord, listen, You not only saved me by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the resurrection, but You also have delivered me from myself. We think we need deliverance from other things. We need deliverance from ourselves. We are our own greatest enemy in our walk with the Lord. And by the way, if you don't think so, you don't know yourself very well. Amen. You are the one that will be easily offended by somebody saying something that is only because maybe they're lost or maybe they're in the flesh. If a Christian upsets you, realize this, or if they're doing something wrong, they're not perfect. But listen, we ought to be spirit filled to bring them back to the Lord Jesus Christ by the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in us. And so the Lord says, listen, we need to be careful that we don't walk in the old man, but that we walk in the new man. So He says this in verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's not our work. That's God's work in us. Amen. Lord, I need You to redirect my mind. I need You to redirect my thinking. I need You to call to my mind what You say is sin and not what I think is sin. Amen. See, because I can say, well, we'll see here in just a moment. The world calls some things wrong that God says are definitely wrong. But the world calls a lot of things right that are definitely wrong in the Word of God. And so we need to make our minds, who are we following? Are we following the world? Are we following ourselves and what we think? Or are we looking to the Word of God to follow Him? That's the only way you can follow the Lord. You can't follow the Lord in your mind without the Word of God. You won't do it. There's a lot of people that Jesus said in the end days, they're going to say, but Lord, Lord, you know what we did for You? And they're going to list all these wonderful... They preached the Word of God. They did miracles. They did many wonderful good things, they say. And the Lord says, I will say to them in that day, the judgment day, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work what? Iniquity. That's sin. But wait a minute. They listed good things, not bad things. That tells you, listen, that what the world thinks is good without God is iniquity. It's wrong. There's a lot of people that think, oh, well, let's do this good thing and let's do that good thing and I'll give to this and I'll give of that. And they don't even realize that before the Lord, it's iniquity, especially if He's not asking for it. This is what God is asking for from all of His believers and all of His churches. All right. So notice this right here. Verse 24, that you put on the new man. See, put off the old man. And put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Not our own holiness. See, those people that were rejected by the are going to be rejected by the Lord, they were walking in what they thought was holiness. And they missed it. You know why they missed it? Because they missed knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. See, it is important that we know Him intimately in a way that He changes our lives to understand what He says is right and wrong and not what we think or what the world is saying. Listen, the Lord's churches, there are churches today that, yes, they're mega churches and they're doing great things, but listen, without Jesus Christ, many of them are going to hear, I never knew you. And there's a lot of them. Listen, there's a lot of people. There are churches that you hear that have pastors that have thousands of people. And I've heard them give their own verbal testimony when they were asked by Alan King specifically, are the Muslims wrong believing in Allah? Well, I can't say. Really? Really? Sounds like to me that you don't know who Jesus is. Amen? Because Jesus said he was the only way, the truth, and the life. There was nobody else but him. Allah can't save us. Only Jesus Christ. Now, wait a minute. Some people might say, oh, but Brother George, do you know how offensive that is? Let me know how offensive it is when they stand before the Lord Jesus Christ believing a lie, condemned forever. You tell me what's more offensive. And by the way, what do we think is more offensive to God? Us being dependent on ourselves or dependent on him? See, because he says, if you want to know the truth, the way, and the life, you've got to look to me. You're never going to find it in yourself. And by the way, that's also for people who've trusted the Lord. Peter leaned to his own understanding, didn't he? And the other disciples, when they said, Lord, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Well, that they didn't realize, but that stunk of the flesh. It was not of the Spirit of God, and God had to redirect them as well, as he needs to redirect our life, your life and mine. So, he says, verse 24, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. When we're tapped into the Lord, we're going to understand the righteousness of God. We're going to know how to walk and not what we think or what other people think, or to do things covertly in secrecy. We're going to call it all wrong the way God calls it. We're not going to say, well, it's okay to lie here and it's okay to lie there. We're going to say, no, this is not right. We need to be upfront with the Lord. And so, verse 25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. This is important. This is what the Lord is saying to us. Be angry. Now, this is important. What? God wants us to be angry? Wait a minute, before you go any further. Be ye angry and sin not. There are things that we should be angry at. But we also need to walk in the Lord's Spirit so we're not angry. We need to be angry at sin because it kills. We need to be angry. It destroys people's lives. But listen, but sin not. See, that is the only thing that God ever says to do. He doesn't say love and sin not, because love is an attribute of God. But see, to be angry and to be angry in the flesh, well, we're just a small little, not even a full step away from falling into sin and being angry and missing the Spirit of the Lord. And so we need to be careful when we're angry at the things that God is angry, that we also do that with the love of God as well. That we're angry because it's destroying people. But listen, we need to realize that people without the light of God and without the Holy Spirit conviction will never know that. So they need to see the love of God in our lives. We tell them in love, listen, I'm angry with sin all the day long because it's destroying lives. I'm angry with the sin of drug addiction. The Bible calls that pharmakei, witchcraft. And that's because you open yourself up to all these other kind of demons that are out there. And people end up doing things they would never do unless they were under that kind of influence. And that's a demonic influence. I'm not saying that you shouldn't take certain medicines that the doctor prescribes. But boy, oh boy, you know when you've gone overboard. You know when you've gone in the wrong direction. It's destructive. And so we need to be concerned about these things in a loving way and realize they need the Lord Jesus Christ, as we do also, to keep us from these things. So he says, verse 25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That's a commandment. Amen. Don't ever hold any kind of anger that you have till the next day. That's how you know it's wrong. If you've been angry for more than one day, we're wrong. You heard me, didn't you? We're wrong when we do that. All right? So notice this. Why? Neither give place to the devil. Did you know that that gives place to the devil? When we hold on to that anger and that bitterness? Why, you've given place to the devil to mislead you. Here's what the devil will do. Tell me he hasn't done this. Have you ever been, don't answer this. You've been angry at somebody in life somewhere before, and if you stewed over it, You know what the devil begins to do? You know, not only did they do that, but they did this too. Yeah, you're right. Now I'm double mad. Wait a minute, it gets better. The devil says, not only did they do this and that, but this too. And guess what else they did? Come with me. Let me just give you the lowdown. Amen? That's what the devil will do. And boy, we will be bitter and not represent the grace of God. When we hold on to things that people have done to us, that doesn't glorify the Lord. When we remember all their mistakes, is that what you want God to do for you? You want God to remember all your failures and all your faults? Why should we? God says, forgive them as Christ hath forgiven you. Unconditionally, right? Amen. In other words, I forgive them, and I'm not going to dwell on that. By the way, we've got better things to put our hearts and minds onto, and that's our relationship with our Savior and being found ready when He comes, that we might hear, well done. Do you want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant? We never will do... Let me ask that again. Do you want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant?
Amen.
All right, amen. We'll never do that looking to other people's faults or failures. We need to look to the Lord and what He has for us. All right. Neither give place to the devil, verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. Whose focus is the Lord putting us onto? Ourselves, right? Working with His hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to them, or him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication come out of your neighbor's mouth. Is that what the Bible says? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of where? Amen. But that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So our focus is to make sure that everything we have and everything that we say is coupled with the grace of God. And so as we consider this, God says, this is the focal point. This is the main thing in the life of the believer. And this is the main thing that God wants us to keep the main thing forever and always. And by the way, in doing that, it gives us peace. Whose peace? The Lord's peace. God's peace. His joy. His comfort. And then he says this, ready? Verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. It is possible for a child of God to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Let all bitterness, not most, all of it, and wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That's unkindness. And God says, put it away. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And so this is what a follower has in the new man. When we put away the old man. And so next I want you to take notice of this. The follower of God needs to walk in the love of God. The first thought was the follower of God needs the new man or the new life and the Holy Spirit. That's not automatic. That is something that we seek out daily. You remember what Paul said? He crucified the flesh how often? How often? That's how often he needed the new man, didn't he? We need the new man daily. And by the way, listen, we need to have a serious prayer life with the Lord. Listen, the prayer life of God, God ought to be so holy and so righteous in our sight that we have dedicated a time and a place to meet with Him. I'm not saying you can't pray in your car. I'm not saying you can't pray as you go for a walk. You can do all of those things. But on top of that, God is important to me that where I need Him to crucify my flesh and I need Him to live His life and to fill me with His Spirit, that I make a time just to call upon Him to meet the needs that I have so that I don't walk in myself. Amen. So that I need Him to do that for me. God is not asking us, now you just be determined, you just dedicate yourself and you just do for God. Amen? No, He's wanting to do for us. And we need to be careful that we ask Him. Because if you have not, it's because what? We're not asking. He says, if you ask not, you have not. So if you look at your life and you don't have these things that God's talking about, guess what we're not doing? Guess what we are not doing? When I run short, I know somewhere along the line, I have not asked the Lord to do these things for me. Because here's one thing. When it comes to God and myself, He is never wrong. If there's anybody wrong, guess who it is? You're looking at them, right? Me. Okay, ready? And I'm good with that. I have no problems with that. Verse 1 of chapter 5. The follower needs the love of God. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in what? And that's God's love, not ours. Our love runs short, does it not? You can push and prod and my love will stop being love. But God's love helps us to see that, boy, oh boy, God has been so good to me. You know what? Can't we say like David, who am I that you love me? Who am I that you gave your son for me? Wow, what great love God has for me. See, when I see the love of God to me, now all of a sudden, God shows me how to love other people. Because I didn't deserve it. Did you deserve the love of God? No, but God gave it to us if we'd be willing to receive it. So he says, walk in love, verse 2, as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us, listen to this, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So if you want to know how to walk in love, God just gave us a recipe. How do we walk in love? We need to offer ourselves as a sacrifice and a sweet-smelling savor. You remember what he said in Romans chapter 12? Present yourselves, therefore, before God as a living sacrifice. See, if we're not offering ourselves up as a living sacrifice, chances are excellent. In fact, 100% we're not walking in the love of God. We have to say, Lord, guess what? A living sacrifice doesn't crawl off the altar, even though it's alive, but it says, Lord, I'm all yours. Do with me today as you will, that your name might be honored and glorified. Not that I might look out for myself, but Lord, that I might look out to walk in your power and not mine. And by the way, listen, that will direct our lives to honor the Lord and keep us from honoring ourselves. Do you know that it's easy for us to, in the name of God, honor ourselves? That's not the way the Lord wants to do it. So how do we walk in love? Well, look at it again, verse 2. And walk in love as Christ. Did you see what he said? He's giving us the example. As Christ also hath loved us, he was walking in love, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to who? To God, for a sweet-smelling savor. So Christ loved us, he gave himself for us, and so we ought to give ourselves for him. And God says, in doing that, we'll be a sweet-smelling savor unto the Lord. Now the world and even the carnal Christian may not understand that. But boy, oh boy, we'll experience something that only you and I can have in the Lord Jesus Christ on top of our eternal life and salvation in the Lord. So in doing that, notice what happens. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know. By the way, we have something to thank the Lord for. I'm just going to ask you this. Don't answer this. I was going to say, how many times a day do you thank the Lord for what he's given to you? Amen. You know, we live, people talk about being poor in this nation. We don't know what poor is. I'm not saying there aren't poor people. But I'm telling you, you go to third world nations where they don't even have a roof over their head. Where a five-star hotel doesn't even have internet. Five-star hotel, doesn't even have internet, may not even have heating and air. And we think we've got it bad. No, listen, our focus is too much on ourselves and not on our God who's worthy. So he says this. He says, verse 4, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, putting something else before them, God, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. There's no inheritance there. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Don't condone that. Don't fall into that. Don't just say, okay, I guess everybody's doing it. Isn't that what they say today? Everybody's doing it. No, listen. Listen, you remember when Elijah thought he was the only prophet that was standing for God? Do you remember how many other disciples or prophets God said he had? 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. Just because the world is doing it doesn't mean that we have to do it. Nor should we. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Verse 7. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light. Where? In the Lord. Verse 8. We are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Because we can walk in darkness. And then he says this, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And then he says this, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Proving what is acceptable, not to my thinking, but to the Lord. Do you know what God says is acceptable to him? His life in you and I. That's what he says is acceptable. That we might not walk, by the way, look, and have no fellowship, verse 11, with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Listen to this, verse 12. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. You just threw out about 99.999% of programs. The world thinks we need to know about their filth. No, we don't. The Bible says it's even a shame to speak of those things. I don't need Christians to show me the wickedness that's in the world. I don't need to put my mind on that trash. And I say that because there's a lot of Christians that are willing to show the wickedness of this world on all their own channels and their podcasts. We don't need to listen to that garbage. We don't need to see that garbage. It's no mystery to us that the world is getting worse. You can see it. Amen. Just go to the grocery store. You'll see plenty of it. Now, they need the Lord too, and I'm not against them. God's for them to be saved. So are we. But we don't need to be involved in that stuff that they're involved with. Because the Bible says it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And I'm afraid to say they don't do it in secret very much anymore. But all things that are reproved are made manifest, listen to this, are revealed, are made seen by the light. For whosoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. He's talking to his people. And Christ shall give thee what? And that light comes with joy. And that light comes with peace. Amen. And the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, confirms, you're pleasing in my sight. Listen, may I tell you something? Every child of God will know whether or not they're going to receive the crown of righteousness. Every child of God knows, just as we know when we're failing, we know when we're succeeding. If you're walking in failure, I'll tell you what the problem is, because it's my problem too. I'm looking to me and not God. I'm looking into what I'm doing for God instead of what God needs to be doing for me, and me not calling on God to perform that which he's promised to perform in the life of the believer. You tell me what's really important. We can do all different kinds of things, but if we miss the main thing that God said, and that is that he might glorify himself in our lives, we're missing the Lord. And we don't understand God. We can have a form of godliness, but we're denying the life-changing power of that relationship that we profess to have. And I can say I'm a jet fighter pilot. I'm quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs all day long. I could even go buy a jersey. Would you believe me? If I told you that, you'd say, Brother George is out of his mind. Amen? He's lost something up there. And you know what? It's not any more of a sadder truth for a child of God to say, I'm right with God, and they're not. Because God sees it. And I don't know about you, but one day very soon, we're going to stand before him. And may we not miss, listen, God says, and by the way, you know why we could be a success? Because God has provided everything we need to be successful through his Son. Amen. He's given us redemption. He's given us a new life. He's indwelt us with the Holy Spirit in that new life. And he says, I can make you glorify me if you'll look one place. Who? To God. Amen. To God. And we're done here. Ready? So he says, wherefore awake, verse 14, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. He's speaking to children, his children, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, looking all 360 degrees, not as fools, but as wise. How? Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, his children, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Understanding, we need to understand what the will of the Lord is, where? In our lives. In our own personal lives before him. And he says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. Don't be controlled by an alcoholic substance, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. To where he's controlling our lives to honor and glorify the Lord. And then he says, speaking to yourselves, three more verses, speaking to yourselves in psalms. This is the result of being filled with the Holy Spirit. We're speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts, in your heart, to the Lord. And then we're also doing this, giving thanks once a week. Giving thanks always for all things unto God, for all things. Can you thank God for everything? Or did we pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, as the saying goes? Unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. This is the main thing that God says has to be the main thing if we're going to grow in the promises and in the grace of God. This is what is required by the Lord, and that we call upon Him to perform it. Not that we do it, but that we ask Him to perform it, and that's how we become followers of God. Christ shall give thee light. Do you know what the light of the world is? A believer in right fellowship with their God. Do you know what the world needs to see for salvation? A believer in right, not a saved child of God, a saved child of God, but a saved child of God in right fellowship with God. Amen. You can have all the different things going on, and if we don't have right fellowship in our own personal lives, and if we're excusing things and allowing things, we might be quenching the Holy Spirit. Oh, nobody will see this. Nobody will know. God's always watching, isn't He? God knows where to give His blessing. And God knows when to withhold it. Has God ever held His blessings from His people because of their sin? Oh, yeah. Will God do that for us as well? Yes. But will He not also, with a repentant heart and a confessing heart and a desire to honor and glorify the Lord, and that we call upon Him, will He not open up the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing that we can't receive it? There's only one thing that's needed, our trust in Him to do it. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You for the understanding that You give us through Your Word. And Lord, the opportunity that You've given to us even right now to call upon You. And You've also given us the freedom not to call upon You and just to remain the same. So the invitation is Yours. The opportunity is ours to reject or to receive. And Lord, if there's one here that You've been speaking to that may not have eternal life, may You help them to see their need to trust You even today. That is between You and them. And Lord, we know it's Your will that none should perish. Bless Your word. Bless Your people. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.